Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palace Show right across the river and through the woods from where Granny picks up her purple haze and likes to drink a little JMO before dinner in the NYC. The Big Apple, ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be all my friend that come around, flats, flats, a party of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, it's time to tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking. I got that whole thing out in one breath. So I was trying to decide what to watch. If I wanted to watch Magdalena fight Vicente, and you know, that was the choice between boxing and baseball, the draft. And I looked at the draft, and they were at like pick 142 or something. The White Sox were selecting, and I just thought to myself, 142 picks into the draft, I can't even keep track of the round because I know they're in, they're doing the 2 through 5 tonight, right? So now they're in the 5th round. It's basically the end of the night. It's been going on since, you know, 5 o'clock East or something like that. And I turned it on and I was thinking to myself, do I want to watch this? And I just very quickly decided, no, I don't want to watch it. I just don't care. I could barely get through the first round, let alone the second through the 5th rounds of the baseball draft. So anyway, I decided to watch the boxing. I watched Stevenson fight the other night, and then now I'm going to watch this Magdalena. So I thought Stevenson looked great in his fight, and now we'll see what Magdalena has to offer. I love it. Give me boxing every night. NASCAR, UFC, golf today at the Colonial. They were playing in beautiful Fort Worth. It was sunny, clear, 90, clean, barely a breeze. They were smacking a ball all over the place. Then I get a strap into a fight. I mean, does it get any better than this? I mean, it will get better when there's hockey and when there's NBA. I don't care about the boys in the bubble. I don't care if they're miserable. I don't care if they don't like it. I don't care if their families don't get to see them. I just want to see playoff basketball, playoff hockey. It's Farrell on a bench, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell and Events with you. So I have no idea what's happening around me. I really don't. I woke up in a good mood. I don't know what the hell happened. I went to see Dr. Garden today, and he told me that everything was fine after I had my prostate exam, my annual trip to make sure everything in the garage, the snowblower, the generator, that that it's all in working order. And that, make sure we, like that spring house cleaning. And I do it. I always, it's a thrill for me to be involved. And then to go to the, do the PSA afterwards when they drain your blood. So first you get your, and then they give you like a drip, like a slow drip. Then they have the gall to ask you all kinds of other questions. I'm peeing in cups. I'm doing everything. I'm doing all kinds of stuff, right? I'm doing the whole deal, the medical, the trip, the annual vestige to see the kit and caboodle doctor. I love that guy. And then I don't know what happened. Hey, Mafia, what happened today? What was it like? By the way, Mafia is here with me. He's having a horrible day. See what happens when you have a party and you drink all that booze and you celebrate your 35th birthday and then, just everything just went downhill from there.
Yeah, that's what happens when it gets old, right? I mean, technology is not our friend today.
So what happened today at like the end of the TV show? Can we bring that up or is that off limits?
No,
I have no idea what happened. So somebody explained it to me. I think it's safe to just tell it like it is. Like what happened? Like was there a storm or something? What happened?
There must have been down by our boy Joe that apparently he lost power at his compound there and had to reset things and change internets. And he was having all kinds of issues. It started right as we were finishing and continued after that.
What was it like? Right at the Hussey building, they had a power outage.
Apparently, yeah. Everything went out. You had to turn on the generator. You had to go to backup stuff.
And then, because like at the end there, how long did it last? Like how long did that problem last?
Not very long for us. And that's what matters most.
Well, I know not for us, but like, did it go on for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Did he ever, was he killed?
He was not killed. I think going in about a good 20, 30 minutes there, he got everything back to normal. Because, he's a pro like that.
Right. All right. 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Do we have John in Buffalo?
Unbelievable that the Frailer Pub isn't running yet, man. I feel like I'm living in the 1920s with Prohibition.
Right. Can you believe that I have to even bring it up? Like, what is this, 3 days now? The fact that I still don't have it, the taps, the beer flowing, the Frailer Pub. I mean, what is next? I'm going to go to church. I mean, honestly, they've sucked the life out of me. Mafia and Carver High, they've taken all the beer, everything else. Now, like what? I used to get plan my travel and trips around the world. Now they got me going to church, Christian camps, no drinking, kumbaya, love one another, no booze, drink water and seltzer and pray for one another and the higher power. And, we used to play poker. Now he's playing hopscotch in my driveway, Mafia. We used to play hockey and knock each other's teeth out. We used to play basketball and elbow each other in the face. And now we do poetry. We do karaoke Saturdays where I have to sit around and watch Mafia sing Barry Manilow cuts. They stopped drinking. They started wearing robes. Mafia started going on nature hikes. I saw him with a butterfly net running through my yard the other day in his underwear. I mean, there's just all kinds of freaky stuff going on, man. And it all started when they took away my beer kegs.
You know, it's not my problem. Tomorrow we will have the beer pours back.
I don't believe anything you say. I don't even, like, what am I supposed to believe you? You're probably the reason for all of it. You have done this to us. You have, I don't know, when you found a better way or something, you joined a cult.
Not true. Mafia won't. I'm still drinking.
Listen, he's still drinking. You can tell John he's lying. You can tell.
If there's anything we know about the Haunted Man, you are definitely not the only bar that's struggling right now. I know guys, and they are just losing money left and right. They're in the streets right now with their bars.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to talk to you about NASCAR, man. I think I see a lot of Twitter people, whole new big fans of NASCAR because of their Confederate flag decision, which was obviously, you know, a little bit too late, but at least they did it. And I just want to say, if you want people to watch your races, don't make it 500 goddamn miles, man. By about lap 300 at Daytona, you feel like you're throwing up your dinner. So, you know, the younger kids don't have this attention span, and you got to make these races shorter. I think that's a good trick to start with.
Listen, I'll tell you the truth. So I've said this a lot, and so I want people to grasp it. I've been to 5 million NASCAR races, and I've never watched one lap. I've never actually seen a car go by me, and I've been to 5 million races. Here's the reason you go to NASCAR races: to drink and smoke and get some leg. And then to actually, the remainder of the time that you're there, you make fun of Hill Jacks. and it becomes like a sport, like where I'm like, I'm actually just absorbing. And it's so much fun for me because I love these people and I get to watch them like shave the, you know, Kurt Busch's number in his back hair. And guys, nobody has any teeth. I love it. You know, chicks that can beat you up like easily. Like chicks, just smelly chicks that can beat your ass. And it's all happening. And like 500, 600 laps, who cares? Barbecue, drink, pass out in the sun, get a sunburn, the whole deal. By the way, I started and I hit the race last night. I mean, when are we going to get around to talking about that? I had Marty Truex at plus 650 FanDuel. And I hit that ticket like a mother Pharreller. And so I always find it brutal to bet, you know, frankly, race cars for sure. Picking one guy out of 43, whatever it is. I can't tell you how hard that is to bet on. You're better off doing, you know, prop bets and stuff like that. For me, with like, you know, NASCAR, golf, tennis, things of this nature, I don't think that's, you know, something that's easy to pick a race car winner out of that many drivers. But I hit it last night and I still didn't care. I don't care how many laps they run. And, you know, I think it's going to be a sport in itself, watching them try to eradicate the Confederate flag. I think that'll be a sport in itself because, like I said, I've said it both nights, whatever. This is the third night. I'll say it again. They're, you know, you're not just walk out into that, you know, parking lot outside the track or in the infield. In the infield, they might have a better like dance of it and better control, probably more of a NASCAR security and police force there, where they're going to be able to manipulate the situation and control the inside the track where, you know, their events taking place will probably have a little bit more luck getting people to cooperate with them in terms of, you know, don't have that flag out. But I'm telling you, outside in that parking lot, outside that track, anywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, like, you know, Dega, wherever. I mean, honestly, Homestead, Pocono, Martinsville, Bristol, outside those tracks, believe me, you're not telling some dude to take down his flags. They'll shoot you. I mean, they're crazy. They're absolutely insane. So good luck pushing them around. I think it's the best thing ever that they got rid of that flag. I thought, you know, actually they should have done it 25 years ago. I thought they did get rid of it 10 years ago. That's how little I care about it. But the fact that they're finally going to get rid of it, or say they're going to get rid of it, now we get to watch the sport of watching them try to get rid of it, which isn't going to be easy.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench back with you. Kurt Heelan is our good buddy from NBC, and he's been on the bench a million times, and we got him now on Sports Grid Radio late night. Let's get him in here. How you doing, Kurt? I hope everything's doing all right for you, brother.
I am holding up pretty well. Everything's going good here. I hope you're all right, my man.
Yeah, man. Everything's kosher. Everything seems to be under control. And when you have been through this, right, like we all have, and then like you got to the window where you saw that they were going to do this on July 30th, whatever it is, and you knew that they had a plan in place to try to kickstart the NBA season again, right? And then you were doing your thing. At your house, I'm assuming, and trying to, you know, do stories and trying to handle your business. And then it was like, you know, let's say the last week of May, whatever, when they finally decided that they're going to do this, right? Now, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, June 11th, whatever. And they finally, you know, they're getting closer and closer to it becoming a reality. But when you found out that they were going to do it and you saw that we still had like a month and 3 weeks to wait for basketball, what did you do? Because I got to tell you, I went to see a shrink. I mean, that I got to wait another 2 months to see basketball. I started playing outdoors with people I don't even know. I played in 95 degree heat last Saturday outside because I'm so sick and tired of waiting for basketball that I don't even forget about a mask. Forget about 6 feet. I shot every time I got the ball.
I love that. I have not been out and played in a pickup game. I heard you in SoCal. It's been warm this week. I need to get back out into a game, though.
You do.
You know, it's vintage Adam Silverman. He doesn't make a decision until he has to. He moves in a kind of cautious manner. He's not going to rush this. He's not going to be throwing proposals at the players and waiting for their counters. He's going to try to work with them. But it was always going to be, I shouldn't say always. I was surprised how long I thought they'd want to be back faster than this. I think they'd want to be one of the first in the gap. And I also thought that they wouldn't be willing to push back the start of the next season like they have. And they've just been willing to kind of like, all right, this is what we got to do. This is why this is the smart move. And they've pushed it, like you said. I mean, there's not a meaningful game until July 30th. And even those first 2 weeks they're glorified regular season games. And some teams will shift around in seeding.
Right.
But the real playoffs are, you know, 2 weeks after that. You're into August before the games actually matter.
It's crazy. So, you know what? This is what I want to know. Like when you watch summer league games, right? And like, because I think it's pretty cool. Like I like summer league games when they go to Vegas and they start balling all day every day. Do you think that it's going to be, you know, cool like that, Or do you think that, because I think that's really cool, but do you think that the teams that are going to be there, because a lot of them I think are hacks. You know, I know they've got 22 teams and they're trying to glorify this, but I think some of these teams have no chance. Let's face it, Vegas doesn't think, Kurt, that any of them have a chance. They literally have three teams, Clippers, Lakers, and Bucks. Everybody else has no chance whatsoever. I'm not buying that either because Toronto's tough, you know, Boston, and there's all these teams that are tough. Denver, Houston, there's all these teams. Do you think it's going to be cool or do you think it's going to suck when they start playing these games if guys don't show up and this and that happens?
I think the guys not showing up, there'll be a handful, but I don't think it's going to be as widespread. There's a lot of guys talking right now, but they just don't know what it's going to look. They haven't seen the protocols. They don't quite know how long they're going to be there. That started to come out a little bit today, but they just don't have answers to their questions. So they're like, I don't know, how much risk am I going to take on? But you got to remember at the end of the day, Scott, they don't show up. If your team is there, if you're a member of the Portland Trail Blazers or the Utah Jazz or whatever, and your team is there and you say, I'm not playing, you don't get paid. So guys are going to show up, man. There's money coming in again and guys are going to grab the bag. So I don't think – there might be a handful, but I don't think you're going to see many guys not play. But it's – at the end of the day, man, it's just going to I think that it's going to be cool for those of us who really love the game, who are junkies. I'm curious how long before the buzz wears off for fans. Like, and you'll see, you know, like, I don't know how good the ratings are really going to be for the 3 o'clock in the afternoon Phoenix-Memphis game. But, you know, they're going to put it on, and they'll be watching, and at first there'll be some buzz. But at first there's going to be some buzz, but I think it'll fade a little bit.
I'm going to watch.
The playoffs will stand up. Yeah,
I'm going to watch every game.
I too, but
I'm going to watch every game.
I'm watching, but I think the playoffs are – I think once the playoffs go, start rolling, then there's going to be, again, you get that intensity, and you're going to – get more, you know, a few games at night, or they'll roll them all through the day, but there'll be a lot more. They'll also start it later. I think, like, you know, yes, they're in New Orleans. I mean, in New Orleans, in Orlando. I wish they were in New Orleans. They're in Orlando. Yeah. The Lakers are going to get, like, the Lakers and Clippers, but the Lakers are going to get some 10 o'clock starts, 10:30 Eastern starts, so that they're at, like, 7:30 West Coast time. There's going to be some late nights for them.
So, I mean, do you think that the players are going to freak out when they feel like trapped or whatever in this bubble and all their rules and such that they're putting in place? And or do you think that, like, you know, because most guys that, you know, I know, you know, let's face it, ballers ball. They just want to ball. These guys are going to be I think, playing and getting paid and trying to stay healthy and trying to get sleep and trying to take care of their bodies and grind, right? So I don't think they're going to be worried about going, which they're not allowed to go to Disney. They're not allowed to go anywhere else. So you might as well buckle down and get down to business and be all about doing the right things. Do you think guys are going to do that, or do you think they're going to freak out and, like, lose their minds?
I don't think there's going to be. I think that, look, they're going to be hanging with their buddies and their teammates. They're pack your Xbox, bring it to the room, man. you're going to have a lot of dead time. You're going to have a lot of dead time, but I think guys will just deal with that. And like you said, they're going to be balling. They're going to practice or play every day. They're going to watch the other games. And at the end of the day, man, they'll figure it out. It's going to be like an extended road trip. It's for the teams, the short end of this curve there is going to be like 35 to 40 days in the bubble because of the training camp. And then, you know, even if you don't make the playoffs, you're going to be there that long. That's a long road trip, man. That's a long time to be away. But I think guys will adapt. I think guys will generally be able to deal with it pretty well. And they'll start to, hey, there's golf courses that they can use. There's some stuff they can do out there. I think they'll find a way to do it. Just like you said, they want a ball. They want to. The teams that are really motivated, like you mentioned, Houston's got it. You know, they think they got a chance. The Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. Those teams are going to be fine. They'll find a way, man. They'll be focused.
Do you think Kurt Heelan with us, NBC? Do you think that the expanding the rosters to 17? I'm hearing that that's happening. Is that going to help these teams at all?
A little. It gives them some depth so that if they wanted to keep fewer people in the bubble, obviously, so they're trying to keep their rosters at 15. But then if a guy goes down and you're trying to bring a guy in from the outside and he's got to go through a quarantine and all that, it doesn't help. Like, you need the extra bodies in the bubble so if a guy tests positive, you can just plug in, you know, all right, we're pulling this guy off of the bench and throw, you know, off of our inactive roster and throwing him into active. And all that said, Scott, if you get into a playoff series, and if you're in a playoff series and you're Doc Rivers and the sixth, seventh, eighth guy in your rotation tests positive, dude, you can't replace him with a G League guy and have it be the same. And same with every team out there, Utah, who, you know, Boston, whoever it is, rotation NBA players. You can't just say, hey, we've got this guy at the end of the bench or we've got this G League guy we can plug in. It's not going to work. They're just going to ride it out. I don't think by the time you get to the playoffs, I don't think it's going to matter much because you've tightened your rotation to eight or nine guys. And the other guys beyond that, if you're plugging them in, you're in real trouble because they're not, you know, they're not part of your rotation in the playoffs for a reason.
Hey, so respectfully, I got about a minute here. Let me ask you, are you going to be able to do another segment with me, or do you have to go to bed, girly man?
I can do another segment if you want to do it.
All right.
I'm on the West Coast, man. It's only 7:30. I'm not going to bed yet.
All right. Well, there you go. Then I'll remove any future candy-ass references. So let me ask you. There are guys, and I just want you to think about this for a minute because I want to get this down right. And I'm going to ask you this question. Then when we come back, I want you to answer it. Hopefully I got the right time left, Mafia, here to ask this. There's guys like, I just saw some guy just, I think Vicente just got knocked the Pharrell out by Magdaleno. I mean, in the fourth round. I got to see this punch here really quick. Oh, a body blow. That might have been a shot to the region. That was not a knockdown. That was just a straight shot to the onions. He gets the 5-minute waiver there to lay on the ground and get his bearings. Here's the question that I want to ask when we come back, Kurt Heelan, you answer. So, like a guy like Luka Doncic, who I want to watch play every night, right? I hear that he's, you know, his trainer comes out or something, I think almost stupidly, talking about how he's not in shape. And that they're working really hard to try to get him in shape to get him back. 30. And then you got a guy like the Joker, who they're talking about. Oh, he's lost all this weight, and he's looking fantastic. The guy's, you know, he's as light as a feather on his feet. He's going to be incredible. The Nuggets are going to win the championship. I've heard all this. I don't know what to believe. So when I come back, I'm going to ask Kurt if, you know, guys, how long is it going to take them to get in ball shape, like in straight run, you know, cardio ball shape? We're doing it on Pharrell on the Bench. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So anyway, I'm watching this fight, the Vicente challenger against Magdalena. He punched him in the onions. The guy was down for 5 minutes. They get him up. He finally gets up. He's like, all right, I'm ready to go. Then the ref tells Vicente, boom, he took a point away from him. He walked around a rank, took points away from him, right? Then he warned him. He said, don't do it again. And literally a minute later, he did it to him again. He did it again and nailed him again right in the home plate and in the region. And then he took another point away from him. I mean, they're in the fourth round, and the guy, they've already stripped him of the fight. He has no chance. The only way he's going to win this fight is if he knocks him out, because he's just getting points raked from him. And now I think the other guy, Magdalena, wants to start returning the favor and punching him in the, a special place. So these two are now low blow city. We're talking to Kurt Heelan of NBC about the NBA. He has no interest in the boxing that I'm talking about. I'm trying to get him motivated to someone below the belt. So anyway, am I wrong? Like, what's the side am I supposed to believe in terms of, you know, the Joker's down 20 and then they're talking about Doncic being out of shape? What has happened to these guys in this window of let's say hypothetically 3 months? What's happened to their bodies and their, you know, their game run, their burn?
It's going to depend guy to guy. I will say this about Joker Jokic. I don't know, you know, like where his game is at, but But I saw the pictures today, too. He has lost weight, dude. He looks thin, and I'm going to assume he's been working out and is pretty cut. I mean, he dropped a little from – he gets in a little better shape every year. He seems to have really gotten it right now. Like, he looks kind of like that year Kevin Love suddenly kind of lost all the baby fat. That seems to have finally kind of happened with him, and he seems to, in better shape. We'll see how much that really changes his game. He's never been, like, lightning quick or anything. But, you know, really simply, Scott, I mean, if he can go from being, and he's not a great defender, but if he can move a little more quickly, just a little, and give second and third efforts a little more, that makes him that much better. Like, and honestly, second half of the season, he was playing at an MVP type of, you know, like, get yourself on the MVP ballot kind of level. So this is good for them. I think Doncic, like, when you read what his trainer really said, is where most of these guys are, which is, they're not in game shape. They might have worked out at home. I'm sure Doncic did what he could. But unless you've got the LeBron James home gym set up that's nicer than the one you and I, Scott, pay for to go to, like,
right,
then you're just not in peak game shape. You're going to take some time. Guys have said that they wanted at least 3 weeks. And then part of the other reason for these seeding games is the guys wanted games, man. Like, you can't – we all know it, man. You can't get in game shape without just playing games. There's no amount of time in any gym that's the same as playing
right.
a sport. And they wanted some time on there. So I think that they're going to be fine. You've got guys getting to, you know, they're starting to really work out in team facilities. That's going to ramp up. They get to Orlando, and they've got about 3 weeks of training and probably maybe even an exhibition or two in there before they get to games. I think that especially by the time you get to the playoffs, but even by the time you get to those seeding games, guys, the majority of guys will have played themselves back into shape and be ready to go. There will be a couple who were eating Big Macs and playing Call of Duty and sitting on the couch all day, and we'll be able to figure it out pretty quick. I don't think that was Doncic, though. I think the majority of these guys worked out. It's just, you know, you were in peak midseason game shape, and it is just going to take some time to get back there.
Yeah, you know, so I was running every day, and then I would lift, and I would shoot for a mile or two in my driveway, just, you know, thousands of jumpers. And then the one thing I noticed was that when I finally played, even though I had run for 2-3 miles every single day for, you know, almost 3 months, every single day I ran, because I knew the one thing you lose is your burn, your cardio legs, your basketball legs. You have to play up and down running. You know, it's no different than doing suicides. If you don't run basketball court, you know, just constant cardio from playing basketball up and down, high speed, low speed, you know, just up and down and doing it over and over and over. That's how they get in that rhythm. And when I played after not doing that, the first thing, like, I played 5 games, and the second game in, like, I'm 2 games in, and it was good, it was clean, I was hitting J's and everything else. But the one thing is, there was a guy, like, trying to stop me, and I'm a big, and he was like, this guy's got no legs. And meanwhile, I had run, I had biked, I had shot, and it just doesn't matter. If you don't play basketball every day and grind and get that rhythm in and that cardio in, you will not be the same player when you finally start playing. And I think we're going to see that in a lot of players. Are you buying the Bucks like everyone else is, like how we said before, it's like Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and then everybody else doesn't even matter. So people have been just handing this Bucks team this title last year, they're doing it again now. Are you buying or selling that team because of how they look, or just the fact that they have Giannis?
I am buying that they can get out of the East. Just I'm not convinced that Boston or Toronto, who are kind of the next teams in line for me, are going to be able to do it. I think that this is a better team, a more battle-tested team after losing last year. Giannis is a little better. Their defense is a little better. They know who they are. I think that they advance. I'm just not sure anybody in the East, as much as I thought Boston was really starting to come out at the end. Toronto's really good, obviously knows who it is. I still think it's the Bucks at the end of the day. Now, can they... Here's the real question for them with me, which is, and this might not matter a lot till the finals. Can they go to plan B and make it work? Which is, look, in the playoffs against the elite teams, when you get to the final four or so, I don't want to say take away. You don't take away a Giannis or LeBron or James Harden, but I can make their life so difficult and make them inefficient enough that you've got to go to plan B. You've got to go to the other guys have to step up. Other guys have to make plays. The deeper you go in the playoffs, the more you need the ability for, look, the Warriors had to go get Kevin Durant to create for them. Like, oh, we got stuck. Oh, hey, we can get the ball to Kevin. They need, everybody's got to have that guy. They've got to have those plan Bs. The Bucks were terrible at that. That's why they were out last year. They didn't go to plan B. They didn't make enough adjustments. Mike Budenholzer didn't make enough. The team wasn't ready to. They've got to prove to me that they can. That's the next step for them, that when Giannis and plan A is taken away, what's plan, you know, can you go to that second step and make it work? I think we'll find out. I believe that they can get there, but we haven't seen it from them, where I really don't question if LeBron can get there or Kawhi can get there.
Do you think, I've heard all this talk, in the last few days about, like guys like Pau Gasol talking about, he'd like a second shot to finish his career with the Lakers or Barcelona or something like this. Isn't he shot? Isn't that over with and done? They're not seriously going there, are they?
Somebody might take a look at him next season. In his case, it really just comes down to is his foot healthy. He's had some foot issues the last couple of years. If he were healthy and he were willing to accept a bench role for 15 minutes a night, he could play. Powell's, his game was never built on wild athleticism. He could give you, 15 backup big minutes a night if he's healthy, but he hasn't been healthy for a while now. And I'm not sure that he's going to be. He wants to play somewhere next year and get his legs under him so that he can be part of the Spanish national team for the Olympics. My guess is he's going to do that with Barcelona or in Europe somewhere. Maybe an NBA team takes a look at him, but I'm just not sure he's going to be healthy again. And then healthy enough for a season that's going to, like we talked about earlier, start late, be condensed, extra games. You're going to need that depth more next year. And I don't know if there's an NBA team willing to trust them that he's going to be ready.
Yeah, I think he's shot. Anyway, the Warriors, yeah. I keep worrying, are they going to, let's say they get lucky and get the top pick. Do you think they'll go after this Edwards? Like there's been a hint of that's who they're interested in, or are they going to be smart about it? Like, cause I'm not sure. I really don't buy that kid's better than Toppin or Wiseman. Like, I think that Obi Toppin guy he's no joke. Can you imagine if they got that guy on that team? Like, he would fit to me in a big way with Green on that front line, as opposed to Edwards, who, don't they already have slick players already that do those things? I think they need a guy that's a monster. Can you imagine if they got another monster with Green playing underneath? I think they'd be back in the finals.
Yeah, I'm actually a big Obi Toppin guy. I think that he's one of the guys in this draft. If I'm the Warriors and I get that number one pick, I'm just trying to trade out, right? I would love to trade down, find somebody that really wants Wiseman and say, no, he's gone by number two. You're going to have to trade up. Get a veteran, just a veteran rotation player and pick up, move down to number 5, 6, 7, where you can probably get Obi Toppin still and be fine. And there's some other good guys. There's not, the problem with this draft is there's not a true number one in it. Maybe, Ball and Wiseman have really high ceilings, but Ball in particular has a crazy low floor. And a lot of questions about work ethic and all this stuff for a lot of these guys. I don't want that number one pick. I don't want to be tied to that guy, and especially not if I'm the Warriors, where all my key guys are 30, 31, 32. We got to do it. We got 3 years basically to make this work again. I don't have time I don't have time to develop Wiseman. Unless I think the guy at the top of that draft is going to be, it's easy last year if it's Zion, but there's no Zions in this draft, man. So I'd get out of that thing if I could.
So I have a minute and a half tops, respectfully. Tell me this much. Do you think, why is it that Wiseman got popped and like thrown out of college? I mean, basically, they wouldn't let him play, right? So he left. He's like, I'm out of here. Why did he get that treatment and Zion is getting this treatment where it seems to me like he's getting away with it?
That's a really good question. Zion went to Duke, and that helps, man. Just staying in line and staying at Duke. We'll see. I'll say this. Guys like Wiseman's potential, but I've been told, you know, when talking, I think I've had a couple people say this, he's much more Clint Capella than Star. And the problem is he wants the ball in his hands. He wants to face up. He thinks he's all that, and he's not that guy. In the NBA, he's going to probably set picks, roll, pop threes, and there's a real demand for that if you're good at it, but I just don't know if he's good enough.
Well, there you go. Hey, Kurt, always killer having you on the bench. I appreciate you doing a double shot tonight, and we'll get you on Coast to Coast on the TV side one of these days for sure. Take care. I'll talk to you when they start playing ball again, automatic, but hopefully we'll get you on before that, and definitely when they start rolling again and start balling again, and hopefully you'll be down in Orlando a little bit and they'll let you down there to watch some games. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother, my man.
I love being on. Anytime, buddy.
Kurt Helin of NBC with us on the bench tonight. Mafia, do you think that Wiseman got screwed and they just let Zion Williamson do whatever he wants?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've seen time and time again in multiple sports, multiple kids. You know, it just seems to be very arbitrary on which ones they really go after and nail and make them not play. Otherwise, you get plenty of them that just come through and play, you know, 1 year or a couple of years and get all the benefits they want until after they're gone. But Wiseman, they attacked while he was there. It was weird.
Do you think Reggie Bush, I never had a problem watching him play, we'll come back and talk about this. I don't have a problem with Reggie Bush, what he did on the field for 1 second, and I really don't have a problem that he took money or presents or whatever the hell it was. All right, so I've watched this fight, and this guy, Magdalena, is supposed to be some kind of badass or something, and he did knock down Vicente once, but I got to tell you, the guy, Vicente, I know he fought dirty, and he had, like, multiple low blows into the onions, and I know that he got knocked down, whatever, et cetera, but I got to tell you, the guy, he fought, like, violently against this guy, and threw a million punches and just absolutely gave this Magdalena nothing but problems all night. So they were like selling this Magdalena like he's some kind of badass. He's barely better than this bum he's fighting. This guy, the guy that he's fighting is just as good as he is. Meanwhile, they sold him as like some no-name hack. And then he's giving him fits and he's punching him in the satchel page, the whole deal. 844-843-6879. I got 90 seconds, Mafia. Tell me, I had no problem with Reggie Bush getting paid money. I could care less. At the end of the day, I just wanted to watch the guy play football. He was a badass. Wiseman, we never got to see him ball. They just ruined his life. And then they just let Zion do whatever he wants. I mean, obviously, there's no way I'll ever believe now with all these allegations that he didn't get paid.
No, I don't believe it either, especially with all the things that have come out with the sneaker trial that we had, you know, the FBI investigation, all that ridiculousness. I mean, it all just breaks down to favorites. They let people go when they want to, and then all of a sudden when they want to crack down, it's going to be, you know, take everybody's heads off, and there's just no rhyme or reason to it. There's no, you know, set rules that they follow every time. It's just however they feel that time of the month, that's how they're going to come down against these programs. I mean, Kansas, they could have probably killed for what the violations they're claiming that they have, and still they're kind of dragging that out and slowly going after them, but they're not going to do anything really to them.
Are you telling me that it's USC complaining that it's that time of the month? USC.
That's how they're going to react.
USC's having that bad few days. The home record window. All right, so you were 25 watching Reggie Bush play. He was a badass. All right, we got another hour to go on Pharrell on the Bench.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.